This is an interview with Rosalie Garland by Caroline Pascoe with Ruth Munro recording for the Women's Information Service History Project at the State Library for South Australia on Wednesday, the 18th of October 2017. Welcome, Rosalie.
Thank you.
Can you give us a brief overview of when and where you were born and grew up?
Yes, certainly. I was born at Udundo, which is in the mid-north, on the way out of just out of the Barossa Valley on the way to the Morgan. Went to, and that was in 29th of April 1948, and my father had the Holden garage there, and there was lots of mixed agriculture, and I went to Udundo Area School, and my mum was the matron of the hospital. But in those days, once she got married, she couldn't work anymore. And I remember her saying to me, my dad said to her, "When you marry me, you won't have to work anymore." And she said, "I never stopped working, but I didn't actually get paid anymore."
How did you come to be working and volunteering for WIS? Working or volunteering when you're working for WIS, but yes.
Yes, it must have been something I always had in my heart to do. And I think a lot of my mother's words rang true with everything I thought and did. And I was the eldest of three and two little brothers, and I sort of was the one that did the caring. You know, we'd go off in the bush and look after Peter, who was 8 years younger, so I did all that. And I went to live... I went to travel at the age of 18 and went all over Europe to Russia and came home overland via India and Pakistan and Afghanistan, all the places you can't go now. So I was a very independent young woman, and I went to live in Perth having married a musician who was global and wonderful, and went to and I thought, well, I love him and I love his music. No, single parent. And so I came back to Adelaide to be near my family, and that was one of the things. As a single parent, I heard about Women's Information Service. I think I probably rang them, actually, and I volunteered. So it was a great connector.
Were you in paid work at the time?
No, I came over from Perth in 1978, and with my son in my belly and a three-year-old. So I was a single mum.
Where was WIS located at the time?
Oh, it was a wonderful setting on the corner of North Terrace and Kintore Avenue, the most beautiful old building, and we all had to wear headsets and link into the phones and sit in rows. We had the most wonderful meetings, and I did one day a week, which I came home high as a kite. I just felt like I'd done something useful and felt really connected, and... yeah, it was a usefulness thing. That just was good.
Was there a long training process?
Yes, and I loved that.
How was it? Tell me about that.
I can't remember exactly how long it went, but it was group work, and we discussed things, and I think we had sort of whiteboards and writing and put things up and what would you suggest. And so it was a group work type process. All women, 100% women. And it was very comforting and wonderful and enlightening. Yeah, felt very positive.
Did you feel you made friends there?
Yes, although we didn't have a lot of time. I mean, I did. I made connections and I felt solidarity, which was wonderful. But really, we didn't have enough time because we were busy. The phones didn't stop, and the concepts of what was coming across the phone line was enormous, like very broad, different things from single parents and custody issues, legal issues, women's health, lots of things about I think I'm pregnant, I don't know what to do, and I don't know what my parents are going to say, and all sorts of issues. I think it was before we even had facilities for how to organised, you know, it was about contraception. Parents weren't permissive about contraception. So there was a really broad issue of things that were generally unspoken about in lots of families.
Did you find yourself giving advice to people, or did you just refer them on to the relevant organisations?
No, it wasn't about giving advice. It was mainly about actively listening and hearing. But if they ask questions about what is there available to me, then we researched it, had to leave the phone and go and look through the books and look through the stuff and give references. Like if it was a legal one, we had to give several lawyers that we knew who would be good for women because other women had said that to us, but we gave three. So we're not doing direct. And same with medicos. Or we'd refer to women's health centres and other women's agencies. Or sometimes it was about education and TAFE courses for women. So it depended. It wasn't about giving actual advice, just saying this is what's available and actively listening to what they were really asking. And often there were tears. So you just had to wait.
So give us a flavour of what it would be like doing a shift. You did a half-day shift, did you? Or?
Yes, it was. I'd get in at 9 in the morning and I think I did it till 1. I think we had a coffee break in between. I think there were quite a few plants in the beautiful office that got a fair bit of coffee poured on them.
As the phone rang before you'd finished,
yeah,
you mean?
So the coffee had gone cold and it got it, yeah. And
were there any answering the phone at that time? Or
well, I have a sense if there was a group of maybe at least 7. Yeah. And some would be paid workers and some would be volunteers. And sometimes, I mean, I'm visualising the setup of that beautiful old building with wooden tables and we all had our own little section and space. So it was, and really, you just got so involved with what the calls were. And I don't think there were very many gaps in between. You'd get up and have a quick, you know, and someone else would have to pick the phone up if yours was, you weren't there. But it was, it's very cooperative. That was one of the best things about it. It was very cooperative. And
can you remember the names of any of your other workers or volunteers while you were there?
Yes, I'm not brilliant on names at this age now, but I do. Carmela Lachlan very recently become the coordinator, and then Liz Ahern was one of them, and Joe Wilmot was the Aboriginal worker, and I don't remember the Greek woman's work. I think we had a Greek and Italian worker too, and I'm sorry, I don't recall either of their
names.
That's
fine.
Yeah.
Was Carmel the coordinator, the manager?
Yes, at that time, yes. Yeah.
Have you got memories of special days that you had there, that anything that stands out in your memory of helping women or empowering women?
Oh, I think every day was like that. That's what I loved about it. I mean, if I didn't have a deep and meaningful call, I would have actually been quite disappointed, and I never was. It was really, I mean, people crying and you're just staying there waiting and being there for them, and then you have to think about what does she need, what is it she needs, and sometimes it's direct. They start off by asking for information on something particular, so you give that, and then you actively listen and see what else is going on. And sometimes it's a wonderful debrief of everybody, and you come off the phone exhausted, an hour and a. You had to record our timing, and you know, it was quite frequent there would be 60-minute calls.
And there was no limit on the time that you were allowed to spend with the women?
No, that was, I don't recall that, no.
Did men ever ring?
I would be very suspicious if I heard a male voice. No, I honestly don't think I did. If it might have been maybe a lawyer confirming something or other, but then I'd hand that over to somebody else. And the wonderful thing was, after you've had a heavy call, because everyone could observe that, oh, wow, she's been there for a while, there was a debrief time, you know, do you need to talk about that? Do you need a bit of space? Do you need, you know, and it was very, you know, there was a sense of definite women supporting women. That's the bottom line of it, and it was great.
Did women try and help you while you were on the phone by passing notes to you if they overheard something that they thought might help?
Might have happened, yeah.
But not regularly?
Yeah, no. Well, to be really honest, most of them were actually on the phones. Yeah. And the other thing was there were younger women. I mean, I would have been in my early 30s, and there were some... I remember there was one young woman who I recognised from Udunda who would have been, I would have been out of school, but I knew of her family. And it was wonderful to meet her there. I can't recall her name now. But that made me feel really proud that there were two of us from a small country town like that who volunteered our services.
Yeah. How long were you there, Rosalie?
It's hard to... I'm really vague on that. I did several years as a volunteer once a week. And I remember all this by the ages of my children because Ben was quite young and I remember Gingy was probably about 10 when I left and she would have been 6, so at least 4 years. But I also went to do... And then I did a time when one of the rec workers was on maternity leave and I did paid work for probably a year there. Then I used to do some work at Adelaide Women's Community Health Centre too, on the women's helpline there, the country women's line. So it was very much the same things, but these were mostly health issues. And I think on all of what happened in the women's information switchboard, it was often domestic violence and abuse calls, and sometimes sexual abuse, and sometimes really worried about contraception issues. So pretty deep stuff. And legal issues.
Legal. Mm. But accommodation.
Yes, now that was, we had good resources for that too.
What sort of resources did you have?
Well, we had places for women's rescue shelters and women's and children's places in domestic violence. And I think I know where they never were labelled, but I remember when my kids grew up, I always used to give all their toys and things to these places and they're gratefully received. So you didn't really know where they were because they were kept, only the women were allowed to know. But we had all, and that was on lists that you could only give to a woman. And safety houses.
So you worked for a few years, volunteered for a few years, then you had paid work. Did you go back to volunteering after that or did you move on to another service?
I was actually doing social work then. I was studying full time. So I actually, with two kids, I had to work at the weekends at the Maritime Museum, very different, selling books and tickets to go to the museum in Port Adelaide.
Did you think that it changed over time? You were talking about the various things, domestic abuse and accommodation, legal, contraception, that sort of thing. Did you notice a change over the years you were there or was it pretty constant?
When I look back now, I feel that we probably had better resources back then. I hate to say that, but I don't know whether that's me being old and grumpy. But
can you think of an example of that?
Well, I'm not sure what resources there are for, like, the domestic violence helpline. You can talk about it, but whether they've got somewhere for you to go, whether there's a safety house where only women and children can be, I don't know anymore. Because I know several of them are shut down.
So, it's interesting for me to hear that you say that you always had accommodation available for women, because that isn't the case now.
No, that's a horrible thing. Yes. And I did one of my social work projects was working at the children's hospital and it was child sexual abuse and I was interviewing little children in the playroom and I learned that if you got them before 8 years of age, they could get better because they believed they could get better if you could keep them safe. Mm. You weren't allowed to ask a leading question and the police were watching through the glass, filming and watching through the glass panel, and they were in a playroom and they'd build a big castle and they'd play with toy animals and people and you'd see them bury this person in there and all you could say is, tell me about that. That's so-and-so. And he did, and they tell you what happened. And they bash the castle and smash it with spades. Or there was a big gorilla there, and he had very purposeful snips at a certain part of his body where little children had got him with the scissors. And he'd just say, tell me about that. What are you doing that to the gorilla? Blah, 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 blah.
And this is when you were working at the hospital,
It was just part of my social work training.
Can you remember anything from, I know it's a long time ago, from the Women's Information Switchboard, any particular day or particular problem that's stayed in your mind over the years?
Quite a lot of domestic violence issues, women crying about that and how to keep their children safe. Yeah, that was big. And another one, I mean, it just came to my mind as I was walking down the street here. We used to do handovers for divorce and separation where the mum really wanted the children to see their dad, but she didn't want to have anything to do with him. And so we'd do handovers for weekends. And I remember coming in one time and volunteering for that too. And it happened to be the Saturday that the Christmas pageant was on, so the children were out the front and watching the Christmas pageant with my 10-year-old daughter looking after them. And Dad had to come to the women's information thing and I had to do the handover. So, I mean, that really does ring, because my children were involved with that one too. They didn't know about what the purpose was, but they thought they were all there for watching the Christmas pageant.
And the mother was able to stay away and not confront the
mother was
father.
Watching them there till the pageant was over and Dad came and took them home after that.
Was that unusual that you actually came face to face with one of the clients that you were speaking to on the phone?
Yeah, very. That was a one-off. Yeah, usually, and I think probably the pageant made that much easier. That it was just a transition, and well, we just had a hug, and I do recall, just because my kids were involved too, but they didn't know anything about the stories, and confidentiality was such a big issue. I think that's probably one of the reasons I forget detail, because it was so important to be confidential. You didn't record names, you didn't record anything. If the person needed a phone number, you took that and got a first name or something, but put the power into on the woman so that she got the choices about what she was doing. But if there was follow-up required, we always followed up and we always gave resources and gave them open choice.
So what, there'd be women who had to go to court. Did you help in any way for women going to court?
I did once, yes. And it was
what happened with
about
that?
A son who was murdered. That was very, very, very difficult.
Her son was murdered?
Yeah. Mm. That was really, I saw her through the whole court system and I accompanied her. That was only a one-off, yeah, a good many years ago.
So she'd rung you? And she'd said that she had this awful incident, that a son was murdered and she needed help.
And I don't know that I actually was the one that took that phone call, because I'm sure I'd remember that. It was about facilitating the court procedure and being part of just a support person for that woman and volunteering to be part of the court. It was a really long session. I think we had to go several days. And that's a one-off. For me, I know other women did it as what they did, but for me it was only a one thing, and it was, she just needed it desperately. And
so other women in WIS were,
yes,
they went,
yes, they I'm sure they did at different times, yes, and I wasn't aware of how it was organised, because I mean, you only volunteered, you only had that little group of people that you saw. It was only when we had sort of big group meetings when we all got together, and sometimes we had meals and shared things. But it was, and because we were so keen on our confidentiality and we were very loyal about that, we didn't sort of explore details of cases, only to debrief after you'd been speaking to people. Because, if you just needed a little bit of space afterwards before the next phone rang.
But you didn't talk, and you never talked about names. So even though you collected statistics, you said,
yes,
about the time spent,
yes.
Did you
yes.
collect postcodes, or did you know where the calls were coming from?
I'm not even sure. Yes, I think so. Area, yeah.
So
I think we did, yes.
Did you have country callers?
Yes, yes. Well, there were, I mean, I was on the Country Women's Health Line. Yes, I'm sure there was country callers. Mm. Yeah. Would have been, and I think we called them back because it would have been much more expensive for them to have called us. So we said, do you mind if you give us a number and we'll talk to you, we'll call you back. Yeah. But I'm not absolutely certain on that. But it was written documentation of a certain degree of statistics that we had to loyally do without making things overt about who the person was, disclosing identity. But if somebody needed really professional follow-up, or we invited them to ring again, and we gave them three professionals, and we had volunteer lawyers who used to come into the switchboard. I think it might have been a Wednesday, and they were women lawyers only, and they would be available for. We often referred them to ring on a certain day to get the women lawyers, and so that was one of the things that was a constant.
If they came to the door, if anyone came to the door on the Wednesday, would you bring them in, give them a cup of tea and get them to talk to the lawyer? That would wouldn't be out of the ordinary.
A cup of tea, a cup of coffee was always on the go, yes.
So people could come to the door?
Yes, it was a loungy sort of area, yes, comfortable loungy little area near the entrance with comfortable chairs and little coffee tables, and people who go over one-to-one, yes.
So if you've painted the picture of coming in for your shift and being very busy, call after call for the 4 hours.
That's my recall, yeah.
How many, roughly, I mean, a bit hard to pin you to this, but would there be two or three people that came in or at every shift, or would there be fewer?
There was always somebody, and my sense was they seemed to be younger women. I mean, central Adelaide was very accessible on North Terrace, Kintore Avenue corner. There were people coming and going, but my sense of it is I only got a glimpse of it because I was busy on the phones. Mm. So it was, and you know, I'd love to do a one-to-one, but more often than not, my role was on the phones, and that I loved that too. That was very, I went home feeling exhausted, but really good.
Were you unable?
Useful.
Yes, but sometimes there must have been times when you couldn't help women. Can you remember any of those times or any of the reasons for your not being able to help them?
I honestly don't ever remember a hang-up. Don't remember a phone going down slap. Don't ever remember any of that. I think we had pretty good training about getting just active listening and finding out and exploring and asking, not leading questions, but gently, and open questions.
So this would be before you had internet there, or did you
have
internet?
Oh, no internet for me, no.
No internet?
No.
So what were your resources then?
It was booklets of all of the legal aid support, booklets of flapping great big things of different areas of requirements. So a lot of filing.
Filing. The phone book? Did you use the phone book?
Well, you know, all of that was printed out in bigger print so that we could have access to it. So, I mean, that was very thoroughly done. The people that did all of our information were some people just did that. And some people did phones.
So
and some people did face-to-face.
Some of the volunteers paid staff, they collated information for you.
Yes.
Because of course, we have databases of community information so that we can look with the internet, we can look up accommodation or disabilities or something like that.
Yes. All that was hand-printed in big folders and in lots and lots of silvery drawers that you pulled out. And you'd have to ask the person, do you mind holding on? Well, I'll go and research, have a look for you. And, you know, explain that. Or sometimes there'd be someone else who did the filing and say, what are you after? And they'd overhear the call and they'd come out with the resources too. It just depends on how busy everyone was. It was very cooperative.
So this is a cabinet, you might say, with cards in under a filing system.
Yes.
So
well, not necessarily cards. I think they were sort of... I do remember flipping through with my hands, but they were big drawers of information. I think it was printed and made larger so that it was easier for us to access. And it was muzzled. I mean, the whole wall was cabinets. And it was all local. Nothing was interstate. It was all local, Adelaide, accessible. People who actually put their hand up to be supportive to us, or we'd research them. I mean, that's not what I did. I only took calls, but the management did lots and lots of behind the scenes stuff to put it out there about what women's needs might be and what women's requirements were. And I think they linked very well with health and law and domestic violence resources. The links were brilliant.
So that would have been a large part of the manager and her assistants.
Yes. Work, that's something I didn't know much about. And sometimes we'd have talks about this is what's going on. And this is, and that's how I found out about the women's health centres and what, you know, there were, there's one at Elizabeth was very, very active, and the TAFE women's studies courses were just so useful for those people from all of those areas. And I mean, it was very rich resources, and they came for had meetings and joined, you know, to enlighten each other about what there was. So it was a very...
So where were you when the internet came in then? Were you still at WIS or not?
No, I was way into... I was working in palliative care, actually. I'm definitely a deep end person.
So we talk now about WIS and the community. So did you ever get out into the community? Do you remember any talks that were given or any ways that...
Only in the Women's Switch Ward building, really. And then we'd have an annual sort of get-together for a celebration and thanking you for being a volunteer and all that sort of thing. And I remember them joyously, of just all women, fully female, and felt... It felt wonderful and comfortable.
Did they give you something for your time? Did they?
I think they gave us meals and fed us. Well,
at the Christmas
thing. No, I don't think we had presents or anything. No.
But you had a Christmas celebration.
Yes. Or end of year one. Yeah, and thank you for your service and it was wonderful. Good feel.
They did have outreach days. They had field days, and particularly in country areas, they'd go to a country show or something like that.
Right. In the
early days, I'm not sure if that was after the time you were there, but you weren't involved in that?
No. I do remember there was something at Clare, but I didn't, because I had little kids on my own, so I was sort of... But, that was a good... And then they had information services... And I mean, they probably jointly set up the Women's Country Information Country Health Service too. They were very closely linked with what they did.
You've worked for a few of those organisations. You've mentioned a few of them now. Were they involved in any getting together? Did they come together with Women's Information Service too?
I think the resources pretty well came from Women's Information Service. I mean, the health ones clearly came from within the health professions, and lots of them were about abortion, bless them. And, I mean, I remember one awful, awful situation where somebody had been raped and the man was in jail and he had HIV. And I remember, as a social worker outside, and I wouldn't have known any of this if I hadn't worked in Women's Switchboard and Women's Health, I knew that... And he'd sexually abused his daughter. And I had to take the daughter to the Women's Information Service for tests for HIV.
He took them to Women's Information Service?
No, to Women's Health Service.
Women's Health Service, okay.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have known that. Had I not worked at Women's Information Service, I would not have known that this is what I need to do to follow up. This was a palliative care issue, and the wife was dying, and the repercussions were that... The young daughter, you know, so all of these resources was so rich for resources that I knew that I needed to get her seen. And thank goodness she was all right. And so was the son. The son had also been raped by him. So no HIV. So, phew. But we had to wait the 6 weeks, and it was a long, 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 long haul. So all of this came from the resources that these women learnt about.
You've talked about how... what you got from working at WIS and how you changed. And I'm thinking about this young pregnant woman who came from Perth as a single mother and offered to volunteer. I mean, you probably had enough to do, but you volunteered at